James 3:13, who is the wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercies and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before thy throne of grace this evening, and pray your mercies be upon the congregation, upon the services here, and that you be pleased to bless from on high, as you comfort those that suffered a loss and among their friends and some among their families, and that you'd give them comfort. And we pray for those that without Christ, that you'd be pleased to save. And Lord, we just look for thy continued mercies be upon the church, that we might continue to prosper, and that you'd be pleased in thy sight to add to us and strengthen us, that we might be a spiritual people, O Lord. We just thank thee and praise thee in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Book of James, the two kinds of wisdom, and our lesson starts out with who is a wise man, and this is a question that could be asked in all kinds of different situations. Of course, this is speaking of godly wisdom, but a lot of times in politics, we wonder who are the wise people, and in businesses and everything else, you desire to have people that has wisdom and that are wise. We think about who is the wise man, then to wisdom from, there's wisdom from beneath, and there's wisdom from above that's mentioned here. We categorize these two different kinds, and then we see the kind but from beneath is spoken of three divisions of that. And so it reveals that many things man declares to be wise or wisdom is not really wisdom at all. It's not from on high, it's from beneath. Most of the things that we see around us is dreamed up by man's wisdom, man's understanding, and as Ecclesiastes speaks of, things done under the sun, without regard of heaven, and God, which is in heaven. We notice that this wisdom from beneath, this earth, it speaks of being earthly, man, and devilish, and not from God. God's people are easily persuaded, though, with wisdom from one way or the other. We should be seeking God's wisdom all the time, but a lot of times we're swayed by the wisdom of the world. We were brought up in that kind of wisdom and logic, and it kind of strikes a note with us. It seems like many times when somebody, a snake salesman is selling us something, it seems to be a wise thing to do at the time, and then we make a mistake before we pray about it, like Joshua did with eating the victuals. And then we suffer the consequences just like he did. And so we have to be careful that we look to God, depend upon God, that he show us his wisdom from on high. We find the way of life, when we think about our make sense of our lives and the way of life and understanding is based upon, and the world has its own wisdom, its own understanding, and how it gets along, think about human logic and try to explain the fall and all the other things, but man doesn't see that it's a fallen creation. He doesn't look at it that way. He might see things that he thinks should be better, but he doesn't see it that it's a fallen creation, even though they may have even been brought up in Sunday school and been taught that. They don't fully understand that, and this wisdom that's from beneath is the opposite of that wisdom which is from above. And the wisdom from above is the wisdom that can cure anger, strife, divisions, and it is for the healing of the church. And so this wisdom that God gives is much different than the kind of wisdom the world has. Who is the wise man? The answer to this question, according to one's perspective. For many, it pertains to earned degrees, obtain knowledge, IQ, and for others, it pertains to position in life, wealth, the combination of these things. Then there are those that are the movers and the shakers and charismatic type people, and sometimes those that can manipulate societies and politics and all of this. We maybe think they're the wise people. In a religious realm, it kind of goes back to the basics. Sometimes it's those with degrees or the most popular, the largest following, the charismatic, the most strict, the ones on TV, or those that have some new thing to tell people about. However, though the word can be used in many ways, it is pertaining to understand that results in a wise attitude and conduct, and wise, that's bedag. And then as a sub note on that, it says wise in that the wisdom is divine and in nature and origin. And the wisdom that's from on high, that's exactly what it is. It's divine nature. It starts out with God. God is has all wisdom, has all knowledge, has all understanding, and the godly wisdom proceeds from Him. Then it goes a little further. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge? To be wise without knowledge, one almost becomes a fool. It's of little value to be wise or have a ability to be wise without knowledge. And so we need to understand, and knowledge is a great value to anyone. A lot of times the reason people are in the situation they're in, and I mean, I'm speaking of a bad or evil situation, is because they have no knowledge. They don't understand. They don't know how to get out of what they're in. And sometimes this does come by education, and sometimes it's by self-education that men can pull themselves up. But in the perspective of God, it is that which God teaches by His Word. And yes, He does use men. And I use commentaries like most people do. And I use all the helps that God can give me or that God has given me. But in the end, you're back to the Word of God. I had a teacher one time. He said, first get all you can get out of it. Then see what somebody else got out of it you didn't. Now, when I first started out, I'd done it the opposite. I'd see what everybody else had, you know, and then I'd kind of figure out from there, and then I soon learned that's not the way to do it. And so then you do exactly like they said. You get all you can get out of it, and then you'll see somebody else has thought of some things that you didn't think of. However, in verse 14, this wisdom and knowledge is of little value unless lived by those who are wise and have this knowledge. There in Ephesians 5:15 and 16, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. And so we do live in a world that's waxing worse and worse. We do live in an evil and wicked generation. And we are to redeem the time. We are to buy back the time for the things of God and to the glory of God. And you say, how you buy back? Well, you use what God has given you, the time that God's given you, to the glory and honor of God. It is, if you will, going back in time for some people. Because, like I say, a lot of people around here especially have been brought up in church. We was in a situation where many maybe never been brought up in church. But you talk to people, and most people here are saved. You just ask them, they'll tell you, And so we live in a situation where sometime you can buy back that time, if you will. You can take them back to the time when they were in church and speak about the things of God. And they use their time wisely and for the cause of Christ, and they use it to the honor and glory of God. Yes, as spoken of the last couple of times, they control their tongue and teach the wisdom of God, without inciting the hearer to sin, especially with the sin of the tongue. And those teaching had to be extra careful. The masters, as you speak of in chapter 3:1, there are to proclaim with meekness and wisdom, though they have the wisdom of God, and they are not to lord it over those whom God has placed under them. And sometimes people with wisdom have a tendency to do that, or are very smart. I don't know what his IQ was, but he could sit down and write a computer program just sitting at his typewriter, or not type, computer, and he just set it out, you know, and then he'd look it over, and he'd say, that's a mistake, and he'd correct that, and then take it, and they'd use it. I mean, I've done just a very little program, nothing to that degree, but it never worked for me like that. He was just a genius. But he kind of sometimes let you know he was too. And we're not to lord over those that God's placed under us, around us, and those as God uses us, that we might train and teach, that we all might grow in grace and wisdom and knowledge, as mentioned in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3. Meekness means the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance, gentleness, humility, courtesy, considerness, and with humility, that's bedeck. And so meekness is I always call it being satisfied with where you're at. And what I mean by that is that Jesus was lowly, meek and lowly in heart, but the ideal of that is we're satisfied with whatever God does. And when things come in our lives, it's sometimes hard to be, not getting upset and even get depressed over the things that may come in our lives. And this is not meekness. Meekness is being satisfied. Meekness is not thinking of oneself higher than they ought to think. Think of Jesus, who was the God of glory, and yet he gave up his glory and became poor that we might become rich. And he washed the disciples' feet. That shows the humility of our Lord and Savior. It is meekness of wisdom that they are not an overbearing or a know-it-all, not making other people try to feel inferior. Some people don't know anything, but they think they know it all, and you sit there and listen to them. Now listen, we need to be easily entreated, as it mentions, and the word wisdom here, the capacity to understand, function according to wisdom, good judgment in the face of human and especially Christian demands. It's practical wisdom is speaking of in that particular verse, and it is what I mean by practical wisdom. It's like how you get up and do you go turn the stove on wide open before you start cooking, or do you put something on there first and get everything going, then turn the heat on, or how do you go about it? What is the wise thing to do? Do you turn the heat down at night and turn it up in the day and that type of thing? That's just natural wisdom. Do you get out in the car and go down a road that's got snow all over it? Then you do 100 miles an hour? Well, that's just foolishness. That's not wisdom at all. And so this is just practical, natural wisdom that God has given to us to confirm the wicked with calmness and spirit. We think about the judgment, the knowledge with meekness and wisdom to know how to live circumspectly in this present world to confront the wicked with calmness of spirit. That we're not... I know a couple of men that, and they was zeal, had a zeal for the Lord, and they went to a man's house. This was many, many, many years ago, and they said, the Lord told us to come witness to you, and he was a reprobate. No, I mean, he was a reprobate by all standards. And he said, no, I don't want you to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you. Get off my property. And they said, no, the Lord's told us to come here and witness to you. And so they was bound and turned to witness to him, and then he got it, went in his house and got a shotgun. He said, now, get off my property. And they decided, it was time to get off the property. The Lord doesn't teach us to use foolishness. What did Paul do when the Jews did not want to hear him? When they start blaspheming the Lord, he just turned his back on them and says, I go to the Gentiles. We're not to force the Word of God on anybody. If they don't want it, then we're not to give it. It's just as simple as that. Wisdom from beneath, this is the opposite of the kind of wisdom from above. There in James 3:14 and starting with verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife, in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom ascendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And so we find the word wisdom in verse 15 is the same word that we seen in verse 13. And it's used as an irony. It is that this wisdom is supposed to be wisdom that we would call and to make men wise. It says pertain to understand the results of wise attitudes and conduct, and translated wise. And here it's the same kind of wisdom, but it's devilish. It's from beneath. It's not from above. And note, this is one of those passages that clearly shows that you just cannot, when you're studying the Word of God, every word is inspired of God, but you just cannot take a word and find the definition for it and just use it on every occasion the same way. Everything that we read must be taken in context and not mere definition. Definition tells you what the word means, but the setting around that will tell you what the word is and what it and how it's used in the passage. And here it's used as an irony. The Bible also uses a play on words, as we have seen before, to get his point across. We think of God and angels and sometimes animals spoken as if they were had human characteristic, anthropomorphic. However, we must always be careful not to manipulate, twist the Word of God in Scriptures with devilish wisdom, if you will. We must say what the Bible says. It must be put in context. Like conversation usually just means your life, but you can find places in the Scriptures where the conversation is more closer to the way we use today rather than the way it's used in England or in the Old English. It means your whole life, as it was used in our passage. And so we think about not only the opposite of godly wisdom is natural wisdom. This is wisdom that you and I was born with. This was the wisdom that was given to us after Adam's fall. That's the kind of wisdom that we still have within us. And we have the divine wisdom if we're as children of God. But we also have the natural wisdom that is in us. When it says sensual, it's speaking about man's wisdom, the natural wisdom of man, the things that man loves and the things that man hates. And these are the natural things that, if you will, that we were brought up with. And it's the opposite of godly wisdom. That's someone has said someplace, and I don't know who the first one was said it, figure out what normally man would do. Do the opposite, and you're probably doing the will of God. It's almost like that, because we need to be more specific than that, but it's just the way that natural wisdom is. And so it speaks of the wisdom that we was born with, the wisdom that the world uses, the wisdom that the world sees as the right thing and the right way to go. And so we think about the saints as we think about as we teach in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It shows their lack of wisdom altogether when you speak to them, because they don't believe that God created everything. And then some of them that do, they got the theo-evolutionists out there. And some, you know, through Darwin and different ones, was swayed by that in many years ago and have passed it down to some. But let me say to you, that's not the way God said he did it. God said he just had a lump of clay there and formed him out of the dust and breathed into him and he became a living soul. And that's exactly the way God did it. But human wisdom denies that, goes against that. And godly wisdom, of course, the opposite thereof. This displays a haughty spirit, and to say the least, as those that, if you will, try to twist the Word of God, try to turn the Word of God upside down and to claim to be great scholars. I'd mentioned last time, you can get commentaries that I know preachers that use them that are written by ungodly men. But when it comes down, this Hebrew word means this, they can write that. This Hebrew word means that. But they have no understanding of what God means by that and how God is using that. All they can understand is just how the word is, what the word itself is, and how it's used in common language. And this is the problem sometimes. We tend sometimes to do that ourselves. We must take everything in context. Often bitterness starts out with simple enough. First step, you have a little envy and a little jealousy and then a touch of vainglory. And then second, with arguments, backbiting, and growing into bitterness. And thirdly, continuing this way brings a full-blown, hateful bitterness. In Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so we are not to let this bitterness grow within us. And then when it speaks of thereby many be defiled, it means those around about you to be defiled. It's like you come in and you got mud all over you, and you come in the house and kind of, you know, take your coat off. Whether you sling mud on everybody, everybody's affected by that mud. and you track it in on the floor, and then all these, you say, well, that'd just be terrible. That's the way bitterness is in your heart. It's just kind of like being covered in mud, and you just spread it, or like a disease. And this bitterness, if you will, you can take somebody that's happy and come in real bitter, and you can get their happy chart way down. Because the bitterness, if you will, is a destructive thing. As with all that we do, this wickedness starts in the heart, then often breaks out into self-promotion. The grave warning here, this lie not against the truth. This bitter enemy may lead one to stray from the truth, to make, if you will, to make themselves look wiser or more inspired than others. And this is, we see this all the time now, more and more. And some of these people are not even shamefaced. I mean, they don't even try to hide it. They just bald-faced lie about what the Word of God says and take it that you should believe them. And this is the way we see it many times. So they lie against the truth. And many envy and strife, wherever envy and strife are, they produce confusion and every evil work. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off before it be meddled with. That's Proverbs 17. A crack in a dam is not really a serious thing until it starts leaking water. And if it's just leaking a little water, or if there's a little, if it's in the levee, if there's just a little water leakage, if it just dripping, there's nothing to that. You can fix that real easy. And then if you let it go, then it'll become a stream. And then if you let that go, it'll become a river. And that's what it says, leave off contention before it's meddled with. That is, stop it before it becomes a river. And this is exactly what happens among men, that this strife starts out small and little. It starts out in the churches sometime. It starts out, and this is what James is addressing, is those that claim to be Christians and the problems that they are having among themselves and in churches. And this strife may start off small, may start off little, and it could be stopped immediately. But then sometimes it's let to fester and let to grow, and then it becomes a destructive force that cannot be stopped, and it destroys. And this is the warning thereof. Every envy produces strife, drops sleeping with through cracks, with begets more strife, a little stream, bitterness, confusion, large stream, backbiting, gossip, hatred, party spirit, division, and every evil work, a river of destruction. And that's the way it does in the churches. That's the way it does among God's people. That's the way it works out in the world. And this is not from above. This is from beneath. This is from us, that old man. That's from the devil. That's the way he operates, and this is the way the world operates. This wisdom is not from above, but the basis kind of wisdom, as we mentioned before, earthly, sensual, devilish, earthly, part of the earth, and the opposite of heavenly wisdom, sensual, passionate, natural wisdom, wisdom of fallen man. The devilish is the wisdom the devil uses. In some manners, we ought to ask ourselves, is this the way I thought before God saved me? I thought about that sometime. I was making a decision one time, and I thought to myself, well, how would I have thought before God saved me? And then I discovered I was thinking the same identical way that day. And I thought, then this can't be right. That's the wrong, if you will, using the wrong wisdom. And sometimes we need to stop ourselves and stop ourselves in the track, because, you know, if you get your flesh excited, it seems like it's the right thing for the time. I had a person tell me one time that they were trying to make a decision to flip the coin. I think I told this before. It was a disastrous result for them. And they said, well, God, you know, determines the lot in the lap in Proverbs. I said, that's not what it's speaking of. And I said, that's just foolishness. And that was going against, of course, the will and of God. It is best that no strife emerge, but when it does, it needs to be stopped quickly. Wisdom from above. Then the Spirit gives us the characteristics of the wisdom which is from above, which of course are exactly opposite. They're in 3:17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easily to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so this is from above. God's wisdom is first pure. And you notice it says, but the wisdom that's from above is first pure. And the reason it's pure is because it's God's wisdom. There's no impurities in God's wisdom. There's no shadow of turning in it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing, if you will, that you can say, well, here's a little spot here. And no spot, no wrinkle, nothing in it. It's pure. And so this wisdom is, this descends is, and is first pure. And it's pure because it's from God. It's peaceful. That is, it produces peace. It is not in strife. It doesn't cause people to get angry and they start, you know, you see these vessels popping sometime on men and the people, sometimes women get red faced, you know. You think that, well, we're in big trouble now, you know. It doesn't do that. It's peaceful. It produces peace. It doesn't, if you will, cause anger. It's gentle, easy, entreated, full of mercy and good works. And sometimes we think about being easily entreated. If we're speaking about something and we know we're absolutely right, you know, I mean, we're positively 100%. We've studied that, and you may be absolutely 100% right, and the person you're talking to may be 100% wrong. But are you easily entreated? When they say, well, what about this? And you, sometimes people look at you like you're crazy. Just look at you like, you think, how stupid can you get, you know? But let me say to you, that's not the wisdom from on high. The wisdom from on high is gentle and easily entreated. That means that you condescend to men of low estate, that you put yourself on their level, you put them, you esteem them better than yourselves, and you don't condescend or look at them like they're stupid or something. And let me say, that's about as worse a feeling that you can get, is when you ask a stupid question and they let you know that it is a stupid question. And that's just about as low as you can feel. And let me say, we're not to do that. And to be easily entreated. And then it says, full of mercy and good works. And so it has not only does it have these components, what we call, some people refer to as spiritual components, that which is hard to see, but it has the outworking, it has the action of it that produces these things, and to be peaceful and gentle and easy and treated, full of mercy and good works, people can easily see that you are operating at a different level or a different place than they are if they're operating out of the world. We notice that it is first pure, as we mentioned before, meaning it starts from a place of holiness, divine place. The other is the opposite. It starts from sin. The wisdom of the world, its beginning was when Adam failed. The devilish, if you will, that started with Satan when he failed. And so the fall, the ruination of Adam was the beginning of the natural wisdom. And of course, Satan was there beguiling Eve, so he had already fallen, but his wisdom, that wisdom is based upon sin. It's based upon wickedness. Its cornerstone is anti-God. And so therefore, it is against God and against God's wisdom. It is then peaceful, gentle, not insisting on every right letter of law, of custom, yielding, gentle, kind, courteous, tolerant. It means that, you know, we say, well, this is the way we do it. You know, you just got to come down the aisle, sit here, sit there, whatever. That's not the way this kind of wisdom is. This wisdom here, even though there's a rule, but it's courteous, it's gentle. You know, if you've ever been in the wrong where you're sitting where you shouldn't be sitting, and I'm talking about like in a courthouse or something like that, and you can have somebody come and say, hey, you're in the wrong place. You need to be over there. Or you have somebody say, well, sir, you're in the wrong place. There's a lot of difference between the two. And we should be like the latter, if you will, that we should be easily entreated, but also treat other people. It is easily entreated. It is compliant with the favor, fair, equitable, fitting appropriately, suited, proper, to be yielding, unassertive. And so it doesn't assert self, doesn't assert the, if you will, that we stand for the truth. We cannot back down from that. I don't mean that we become mealy-mouthed and don't stand for the truth. We just see Jesus' example. He never did back down from the truth. We're to stand for the truth on the one hand. On the other hand, we're to be gentle about it, yielding, if you will, and unassertive. That is, we don't start the argument. The good practice that I've always found is when the heat starts rising up, that's the time to quit. Because there's nothing going to be accomplished by arguing with somebody over the Scriptures. You say, well, we've got to convince them, preacher. No, you'll never convince them. They'll get so strong in their stand that even if you proved them wrong, they won't change. And so it's a fruitless thing. It's a worthless thing to continue on. Full of mercy, shows God's mercy, good fruit. And we think about the fruit of the Spirit that's within us. And many of these things that we've already mentioned is part of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5th chapter. And so it's an eternal life, is the fruit of salvation. For instance, it's a good fruit. It's a godly fruit. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We become saints of God. We become the redeemed. We become the righteous. We become those that are most favored by God. We have the privilege of God's eye and ear upon us all the time, that He's causing all things to work together for our good. He's, if you will, He's molding us into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ, and taking us and will take us to glory. This wisdom is impartial and of the truth and produces righteousness, and the sowers of that sow will sow truth, and they'll sow it in peace. Without prejudice, without divisiveness, or favoring, if you will, that is, not without partiality, without hypocrisy, without pretense, being genuine and sincere in every part. Sometimes you hear people witnessing and you think they don't really want that person to be saved. They're just going through a routine here. You say, well, why would people do that? Well, because they come in sensitive. They're just doing what they think they should do or what they expected to do. It's like somebody digging a ditch, you know. After a while, they just get digging a ditch. They don't care how straight it is or how deep it is or how correct it is. They're just digging a ditch. And sometimes that's the way we get. We're instead of being sure that the ditch is straight and the ditch is level and it's falling at the right degree for the, if you're planning to drain water out of it and you got the right degree of level of descent, that the water will go out and all those things, and then you care about what you're doing. You keep a track of it, and that's the way we are and when we're sowing the fields of with righteousness. Through wisdom does not say one thing and mean and imply something else. It's not deceptive. It does not use deception. And sometimes we hear people that use deception. They think this is good, you know. They say, well, it's just a play on words. Well, the Bible uses, as I mentioned, a lot of play on words. On the one hand, on the other hand, it's never deceptive. It never is trickery. It never tricks people into believing you're saying one thing when really you're saying another. I listened to a man preach one time, and I knew that he didn't believe in the Holy Spirit after I heard him about 5 minutes of his sermon, that he was like a Church of Christ. He was a Baptist, supposedly, but he didn't believe in a personal spirit. And in his sermon, it'd be hard to detect because he was using the same kind of terms like we would use, but he had a different meaning of it. And then I double-checked after it was over with, make sure that's the way it, and that's the way it was. And that's not from on high. There was a group of people that came through California, North Carolina also, and through there. They were Bible Baptists out of Missouri. They go in churches, and the preacher, that churches without pastors, they'd go in and they'd say, well, you know, I believe what you believe. And some of these churches would call them as pastors, and they'd come in, they start having an increase in membership. And next thing you know, they took over the property, took over the building, and disciplined the members, that is, those who used to be the members, and took over the property. And then they'd go to another church and done the same thing. They'd done that over 30 or 40 times in California, taken over churches. And North Carolina, when we was there, it was only like two or three at that time, and I don't know how many more later on. And when we was in Illinois, I knew one church, Illinois, when we was in there, that they done the same thing there. And I asked the pastor there, he said, well, they was in ignorance. They didn't know anything. So it was properly that we give God the glory and have a church that's to God's glory. Let me tell you, God doesn't teach us to steal, cheat, lie, deceive, twist the word for the greater good. Let me say to you, that's not the greater good. That's man's wisdom. That's man's logic. That's devilish. That's sensual. That's not of God. That's of the earth. And so in one teaching, sharing, we're to sow in peace. And those that are sowing peace, make peace. They will be productive, settle down strife, cause anger to cease, and division stopped. And the problem is, many times in the church, there's no peacemakers in it. And when strife comes, there's nobody to tone it down. There's nobody to stop it. And if there is, there's not maybe many that listen to them. It is the peacemakers who are peaceful and live and speak the righteousness and sow in peace. It is the peacemakers that Jesus in the Beatitudes speaks about blessing. Isaiah 32 and verse 17 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." And this is out of millennial verses in Isaiah 32. But I like that verse. I always have after our first time I run up on it, because the work of righteousness shall be peace. So if we're workers of righteousness, workers of the gospel, the workers of the gospel of peace, it shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. What is that we preach in Ephesians 6:15? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is not a gospel of war. It is not a gospel of destruction. It is the gospel of peace. God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And the meaning here, and I know the word the author is added to there. That's a wonderful thing that we have the King James, because it tells us when they put them in there, they just added it for a better understanding. But let me say to you, God is not the author of confusion, because God is peaceful. And the meaning in this verse is exactly what it's speaking to. The division in the Corinthian church was the opposite of peace. The arguments, the anger, and the strife they were having there. Then Paul brings this out and says, well, God is the God of peace. He's not the author of this. He's not the one that's causing this. You can't say, God led me to do this. God told me to do this. Let me tell you, if it brings division, strife, and destruction, it wasn't from God. God is a God of peace, gives peace to His own. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is that peace that only you receive in salvation. This is that peace that God grants you. And this is the peace that we should operate from. A troubled, angry heart cannot have much assurance of God. Cannot have much assurance of their salvation. They cannot be assured of the Lord's coming or the things to come. God deals with His people that they are a peaceful people. Does that mean that we're peaceful all the time? Well, the shame of it is we're not. We should be, but we're not. And sometimes things do happen among Christians that ought never to happen. And it is a disgrace when it does, because it shows the world that we're just like they are and haven't been changed. And so we need to be careful that we maintain a peaceful attitude. What wisdom do you use? The wisdom that only the born again have, fully understand, or the wisdom that which is the natural man, and it's fully familiar to us all, that which is devilish, we see it operating all around us, and the wisdom of our former days, or the wisdom that God revealed to us when He saved us. It is not enough to have wisdom with knowledge, but it is wisdom that must be lived and demonstrated to those around about us. Pray God's blessed you with this message. Ask the musician come forward.